very amusing. Your one-stop shop for the stories, secrets, and shenanigans of a popcorn-fueled theme park journalist. I'm Carly Wiesel, and I'm a little more coffee-fueled today because I was at Disneyland until late last night. And today, I am recording the first episode of Shreksember! I know we're here. I know. We're back. We're back, baby. Shreksember, our fifth? Sixth? Sixth Shreksember? I can't believe it. I can't believe it's still going, and it's only getting better because today's guest, no offense to our other Shreksember guests, this is the best Shreksember guest we've ever had, okay? This is the best interview we've ever done for Shreksember, and we have so many fun ones ahead. I mean, we have one more. We're doing half month Shreksember this year because there's a lot going on in theme parks, and I gotta get it in. But we have two Shreksember episodes. This is Shreksember episode one. I haven't even said that word in so long. My mouth won't make the shape, and I am so excited to share it with you. But before we do that, I have to tell you about my night at Disneyland. I went to the Mickey's Christmas Carol dinner at Storyteller's Cafe. I'm pretty sure that's what it's called, right? Why do I always second guess myself? Mickey Christmas Carol Storytellers. Sorry, you can hear me tappity tap. Mickey's Christmas Carol Feast at Storyteller's Cafe at Disneyland Resort. And it was fantastic. It was fantastic. Scrooge McDuck was there. Mickey and Minnie were there in fantastic costumes. Clarabelle, Jacob, Marley, Goofy. And let me tell you, I saw Goofy from across the room, teal Goofy, head to toe teal. Ah, glowing. It felt like seeing AI in real life. I like couldn't physically handle it. Anytime I saw Goofy in the background, I would just stop eating and freeze or scream. Screamed multiple times. I'm an adult and I screamed multiple times. And then Goofy just disappeared. Just was like, oh, like went to go talk to Max, did not come back for over an hour. And I was tripping. I was straight worrying. And eventually Goofy did come back and we got to meet teal Goofy. And it was heaven. It was absolute heaven. I had the best time. I loved it so much. I went to book it again. And every single reservation is booked. Even like a random Tuesday in January before it ends on like January 6th, I think is the last day. Done. Not happening. Oh, sorry if you heard that. Toot toot. That was me having to move my car. So I will go do that. Stick around for truly one of the best episodes we've ever done. The best episodes we've ever done. It's so much fun. You're going to love it. Shreksember forever. Okay, bye. Becky!
Carly!
We are together, everyone. We are together aboard the Disney Destiny. We are using these newfangled mics that I purchased for this moment, basically.
This is
because
awesome.
We had that mic fail the other time
we
at Disneyland.
We did.
You're so sweet to say we. Becky's joining in on the failure. It was all me.
We were in this together, girl. We are always in this together. This is how this works. You and I holding hands and trying to make mics work.
We're like the end of Rogue One, you and I.
Precisely.
But in a much happier setting because we are talking about saving money on a future vacation.
Saving money and on what is supposed to be or going to be an amazing vacation as we sit in the location we're in.
Yeah. I mean, y'all are going to hear about it when you hear this, but it's dope. It is a good show.
Yep. Oh, wow.
But you have some money-saving stuff for us, don't you?
We always do, don't
we? I love it. You truly float in. Yeah. You float in and you're like, want to save money on a trip? I got you. I'll do the work. I'll go on go.com. I don't mind.
And the hard part is there's so many right now. And I have to warn you, it's going to get even better because this little known thing called Black Friday is right around the corner. And suppliers right now are already starting to leak what to look forward to. So I have a little bit of that for you in a second, too. First of all, let's start with a new one that just came out, which is the Disney Plus subscribers. If you're enrolled in their Disney Plus perks, now it is different. You have to actually enroll in the perks program. But you can get a special three-day, three-park ticket to select theme parks for starting at $109 per day.
Ooh!
Which, that's a big deal, of
that's
course.
That's a big deal.
If you're a Disney Plus subscriber and you get into Disney Perks, and of course, they don't just do tickets there. Disney Perks allows for all kinds of discounts. So if you're not subscribed yet, do so, because that'll give you one. There are a couple of opportunities, too, with that same package. It's the dates are January 12th to May 22nd that you can actually use those. But you can also upgrade to their stay and play package, which also gets you an additional discount. So perks there for you.
Heck yeah.
That's number one. Number two, we still have Walt Disney World up on the save up to $250 per night on a 4-night, 4-day room and ticket package. $250 per night.
That's a lot of money. That's cold hard cash.
Exactly. And it is still available right now. And that's going to be available for most days, February 22nd, all the way to July 25th. So,
oh, we're out here saving money in summer.
You're saving money in summer. And this is unusual. We don't usually see the summer come out until January and sometimes February. So for it to be available now, you can get ahead of it and get the hotel that you want.
Summer vacation is holiday gift. Bing, bing, boom, you're done.
Exactly. So that's one of those things. Holiday gifts, you get it for your family, of course, but you get to go too. So it's actually a gift for yourself.
Thank you so much, Becky. We have so much more in store in the next break. So everybody stick around.
My mornings are chaos. I need coffee that works as hard as I do. That's why I drink Everyday Dose, coffee with benefits. It's rich, delicious coffee boosted with mushrooms, collagen, and nootropics. Everything I need for focus and balance, ready in 30 seconds. The Black Friday sale is on. Get 61% off your first coffee plus starter kit, a free A2 probiotic creamer, and over $100 in free gifts. Plus, enter for a chance to win $100 cash or get your entire order refunded. Visit everydaydose.com/podcast or use code podcast at checkout.
Hey, what's up, y'all? Kelly Clarkson with Wayfair. My favorite thing about the holidays, decking out my whole house. It's not a competition, but if it was, well, I'd win the season with Wayfair. Outdoor inflatable Santa, got it on Wayfair. Trees, lights, and ornaments, Wayfair. Hosting must-haves like dining sets, beds, sheets, and towels, Wayfair. For everything in your style delivered with fast and free shipping, visit wayfair.com or the Wayfair app to win the season. But again, it's not a competition.
Wayfair. Every style, every home.
Sky High, Trolls, Kung Fu Panda 4, Shrek Forever After. This is not a short list of America's greatest films. No, no. This is a mere selection of our guests' IMDb credits. Because we have director Mike Mitchell on the podcast today. The man behind Shrek Forever After. Yeah! Our guest directed a whole Shrek film and is here to yap about it with us for Shreksember. Truly a highlight. I could have talked to Mike for 10 hours. That is how fun this interview is. Truly, after this episode, after the amount of knowledge and behind-the-scenes details he drops, I was like, do I have to write a Shrek anthology book? Like, is this my new career? The sheer amount of Wikipedia footnotes I will need to submit from this discussion alone would blow your mind. This is easily one of my favorite interviews we have ever done on Very Amusing, period. And to be kicking off Shreksember 2025 with the director of a Shrek film is so exciting. And it's not just that. The details that this dude is dropping, the tea he is spilling, will blow your mind. I want to spoil everything up front, and I won't, but the one thing I will say, the one thing I will let leak, is that he plays an iconic role in a Shrek film, and you will hear me freak out, and we will all be freaking out together when you listen to it. Mike, in this interview, explains how animation works, what it's like to direct a film, what it's like to work with these creative people who come up with these ideas, what it was like to animate back in the day versus what it's like now. Oh my gosh, the casting reveal that he drops at the end, truly just knowledge bombs everywhere. I had a blast. I had the most fun. And if you are not as familiar with Shrek Forever After, because you know it's been a number of years, I just want to refresh your memory that Shrek Forever After, the fourth film in the Shrek franchise, fourth installment in the Shrek franchise, that's what I meant to say, was billed as the final Shrek film for a very long time, until Shrek 5 was announced, which will be coming out in a couple of years. But Mike is here to really tell us all about what it was like making that and some of the other Shrek films. And if you don't recall, Shrek Forever After is essentially an It's a Wonderful Lifestyle story. At this point, Shrek is married to Fiona. I mean, spoiler alert, but you had time to watch it. He's married to Fiona. He has three children, Fergus, Farkle, and Felicia. Listen, if you're going to be celebrating Shreksember, you got to know the baby's names. He has children, and he basically just gets frustrated with being a young dad. It's tiring. It's exhausting. And he wishes that he could go back to his old life. And in this film, we see what that alternate reality would be. And it is such a good movie. It is such a good movie, and I'm so excited to be talking about it today in our first installment of Shreksember 2025. I'm not going to keep you any further from one of the greatest interviews of all time. Please enjoy Mike Mitchell. Please enjoy his talent, his skills. The films this dude has heralded would blow your mind. I mean, SpongeBob movie, Sponge Out of Water, Alvin and the Chipmunks, Chipwrecked. What can't he do? I won't keep you any longer, but wow. Wow! Oh, Mike Mitchell, a genius. A gift to us all. Enjoy this episode of Shreksember. Mike Mitchell, welcome to Very Amusing.
Thanks for having me.
Oh my God, the pleasure is mine, because to say you have an interesting resume is really to undersell it.
Yeah, thank you. It's a weird one, I know.
I mean, your directorial debut was Deuce Bigelow.
Yes, Deuce Bigelow, Male Gigolo, produced by Adam Sandler.
To have that be your directorial debut and then your animated directorial debut be Shrek Forever After is really just like making just a beautiful puzzle of interests.
They should have never allowed me into the children's film, family film arena, but they did.
Don't say it that. Happened. Sky High is very good.
Sky High is great. Don't make fun of that one. I love that one. That and Trolls. I love Trolls and I love Shrek 4. I love all the Shreks. In fact, I was buddies with all the people working on Shrek 1 and they pulled me into Shrek 2. This is a fun fact. And they needed an ending. So I wrote and boarded the ending with a giant gingerbread guy. Do you know the ending where giant Gingy, they ride him into the castle to save the day?
That's you?
That was my sequence, yes. And I named him Mongo, which I was delighted that they kept his name. They're like, go, Mongo. I think they use his name somehow. And the reason he's named Mongo is because I'm such a huge fan of Mel Brooks and Blazing Saddles. And there's a character named Mongo who says Mongo like candy in that film. And that's why the giant gingerbread guy is named Mongo. And can I say one more thing about that sequence?
Can you? I will never end this interview.
Okay.
Tell me everything.
Just make sure I don't talk too much. You've got to interject because I will go on and on because I love Shrek and I love talking about it. And I have so many friends from working on Shrek. But so when I was boarding that sequence, this was so long ago. I lived in a place called Eagle Rock. And this was before, if you could believe it, I think flip phones were just invented. And this was before there was a Starbucks on every corner. And I think we just started to have Starbucks on every corner because it was a joke that we put in the film at the last minute. But anyway, I had to go into a place, a coffee place. This was before people had like coffee machines in their kitchen. And there's the thing that makes the foam and the steam. They let me go behind the counter and I had to draw that because I had a gag where I wanted them to steam the milk that they pour down from the castle. You know, instead of hot oil, they're pouring down hot milk on the giant gingerbread guy. And I needed to know what that machine looked like for the gag. So I was with a sketchbook behind the counter with everyone staring at me sketching the steaming machine.
It sounds like you made these films in the 1800s.
I know. We didn't, but we might as well have.
You just mentioned that you wrote and storyboarded scenes in a different film, which means that you're drawing, you're writing scripts, and you're directing. In animation, do they all just kind of fall into one, or is that just you being very good at your job?
Well, there's always writers and there's always directors of every film, but it is a very strange thing where we're also writing visually through storyboards. So the board artists and the writers work together. And so what you do is you just do as fast as you can. You do these chicken scratch drawings, like on the back of a cocktail napkin, thousands of them. You get up, you pitch the sequence based on something a writer has written, but you're adding gags and you're adding ideas and you're coming up with ideas. And it's almost like workshopping a play where the director then edits all that together. And they put temporary music to it, and we don't even bother the actors. Like, for example, I did the scratch voice for Donkey in Shrek 4. Awful. Not cool, my voice being Donkey, but I did my best. But you just grab everyone and have them come in and do the temp voices, temp music, whatever. And then you sit in a theater. There's a theater at DreamWorks, and you project all these scritchy, scratchy drawings as if it's a film. You pretend it's a film, and you sit back and you watch the film. And you go, wow, at the end, you go, what a horrible film we made. And you take it down and you keep the parts that are kind of working and that people laughed at. And then you start over. So like I said, it's like workshopping a play, unlike a live action film, where you just keep making it and drawing it and drawing it. And like I directed a film called Trolls. I think we did like 8.
That is so sweet of you to act like we don't all very intimately know what Trolls is.
That's very, thank you. Thank you. But we did like eight to 10 versions of Trolls. So by the end of it, you kind of got it figured out and you're like, okay, let's bring in the real actors. Let's like really start animating it. Let's start spending money on it. So in a nutshell, I hope that helps you understand that's how animation is done.
I mean, I'm kind of tired hearing about how even one of these films is created.
It's exhausting. 3 years out of your life. And it hasn't changed since the 90s. They take 3 years to make,
dude. Oh my gosh. What was it like spending so much of your life working on the Shrek franchise and even growing it into a franchise?
Well, it's great because when you work on a film that you like, and I love the world of Shrek, you get to live in this fairy tale world for three years. And I love fairy tales. I'm a huge fan of fairy tales. All of them. I love the Pied Piper, and we figured out a way to put him in the Shrek film, and I was delighted by that.
Wait, that just came from you being like, I dig that story?
Yes.
Because it makes so much sense in the movie.
Oh, well, yes. Yes, it does. But yeah, I mean, you're at your fingertips, you have all these fairy tales, and to me, those are the greatest IP from a million years ago. You just said it sounds like you make these films, you know, in the 1600s or whatever you said. Fairy tales are from a billion years ago, and they're like the original old school IP. They're these stories that just stand the test of time, and crazy weird characters like Pied Piper, Gingerbread Man, the Three Pigs alone. You could like it is a grab bag of amazing characters, and that's what I love about working on all those Shrek films.
I know it's a little funny to be asking you questions 15 years after you made a film, but for you, if you can, talk to me about the creative process.
This is really cheesy, but at the time, my boys, who are now 18 and 20 years old, they were babies, infants. And I had the Shrek strap on, you know, where you put your baby and the baby Bjorn, and I had the car seats. And your life really changes overnight when you have children. Do you have kids?
I have a toddler, and I was not expecting to. So I rewatched the film. I've seen it many times before, but I rewatched it realizing it was the first time I've seen it since I became a parent.
Yeah.
And I was not expecting to be weeping at Shrek Forever After. Like, yeah. It is a different experience when you can understand that so deeply.
It's what I was going through at the time. Like, I couldn't believe the hospital just lets you drive away with this baby, right? Like,
with
really?
No information.
No, you're just going to let me put this kid in the car seat that I barely knew how to put in my car. Anyway, so I was very much in Shrek's headspace of like, wow, my life has just changed. Nothing is going to be the same. I'm scared of it. I don't know if I'm into it. I love these kids. But that was really cool. And by the way, it didn't hurt that my kids played Shrek's babies in the film, too. But yeah, so that's what I was going through. So I love it when I can work on a film, one, that's in a fairy tale world that I love. And then two, it's a theme of something that I need to learn in my life of like how great. I mean, life is so hard with a toddler and there's so much to do and it's so much work. But man, take that all away and it's awful. It's like, we love it. It's the greatest. It's the weirdest thing in the world. It's like a wonderful nightmare. The greatest thing. It's so strange. So I was happy to be working on that theme, and I was very happy to be in that world.
Wow. What an interesting headspace to be in, too, to be living it and then living it through the narrative of the Shrek film.
That's
and,
right.
And like you were, you know, leaving your family to go work on this movie and like trying to search for your sense of self in terms of your job. But then also when you're there, you're just like the same themes all day and night.
Yes, and Shrek is very relatable. I find him very unique in the family film space where he is the Tony Soprano for children. Like, he is a cranky, angry, kind of f***ed up guy that I think is very relatable. He's like Oscar the Grouch. They're both the same color, but it's like a very relatable where you're allowed to be angry and annoyed. And what balances his character off beautifully, and, you know, Mike Myers plays him great. But Eddie Murphy is so joyful and happy and doesn't tune in to his emotions at all. And it's just comically perfect, I think.
You know, now that some time has passed since the film, when you look back on it, what are like the big memories that loom? Are there any moments where you guys really like nailed a story beat or like the film finally coming out? Like, is there, when you think back on it now, what resonates most deeply with you?
Well, I'll tell you a few things. Is one, you know how I said we make the film and make the film and remake the film and throw it away and make it again. The first version of the film was so crazy and silly. I can't believe they didn't escort me to my car with a cardboard box filled with my stuff. It was so, and Jeffrey Katzenberg was really cool in understanding how animation works and how you make these films and that they evolve. But looking back, I was like, oh my God, I would have gotten rid of me in a second. It was crazy. It was teenage Shrek with acne, and it was Fiona going to the prom. And I think she hulked out at the prom and her hands got big and she had to run into a bathroom stall. It was all stuff that we threw away and it didn't work. So that's interesting to see how much like that we were grown up enough to say, this isn't working. We're getting rid of it and we're starting over. Another interesting memory was I played a character. I got to do the voice of a character named Butterpants in the film. It's this little kid that goes, do the roar.
Wait,
do it.
Wait, that's you?
No, that's me.
You're do the roar?
He's a little lollipop holding kid. Yes. And who knew that like now, like ninth graders go crazy for this because he's a meme somehow. He became a meme of like, do it, do the roar. I love you, daddy. What a weird accident that happened. He's got two lines in the film, but I was like, yeah. And that was fun too, because another fun thing about working on these animated films is you have a team of like five or six board artists. And when I'm directing, I let these board artists draw in whatever style they want to draw in. Like you draw the way you draw. So Shrek sometimes looked like when Dave Smith drew him, he looked like Fred Flintstone. Or like when Anthony Zierhut drew him, he looked like the live action man from Broadway playing Shrek, because Anthony was from the live action Spider-Man films. And like everyone drew him like Claire Morrissey draws Shrek different. And who was it? Maggie Kang worked on it. And she just directed K-pop Demon Hunters, by the way.
Oh, wow.
Tremendous director, Maggie Kang. And her donkey was, if you could believe it, so cute and charming. And her scenes were so emotional and nice. So anyway, what really turns me on is you get to see everyone's thumbprint, like all these artists' thumbprint. And, you know, soon it goes through the big CGI machine and it all becomes the same. But that's another memory of me being really interested and fascinated by all these different artists. And then it's fun to see the board artists work with the writers. And in this case, it was Josh Klausner, who's a director. He just directed an independent film called St. Peter that's coming out soon. And Darren Lemke, who wrote Kung Fu Panda 4 for me. And they're just tremendous writers. And when they work with the board artists and they're all like trading ideas around the table and working together, it just makes a magical creative atmosphere that I'll never forget.
Oh my gosh. And when you're directing something like this, you're in it from the start, it sounds like? Like, you don't come on once things have started. Like, you're there at the beginning, at day one.
It depends. Some films I come in after it started, or I'm coming in. But on this one, the way I got pulled in as a director is I was part of the round table of like maybe seven or eight kids. And we're all just talking about what would be a great story. You know, what's the perfect Shrek story? And the more it's when we came up with the idea that Fiona was a warrior. Like in an alternate universe, she's the head of an ogre army. And if she doesn't have kids, if she's not a mom, she's going to be the mom of all these ogres and just be bad. I was like, oh man, I love this story. Like the Fiona and Cameron, I think this is Cameron Diaz's best performance, but her Fiona as a ogre warrior princess. I was like, man, another director is going to come in and all this up, man. It's so sad. And I remember I got the phone call. I was leaving. I'm going to name drop if you don't mind.
Oh, please.
I was going to direct a Steve Martin live action film and I was leaving Steve Martin's house.
Oh,
and pretty cool, right?
Yeah.
And he had his banjos in front of his fireplace and he had his golden retrievers. He's a very serious guy. And we're talking about the film. And as I drove away, Katzenberg called me on my phone, my flip phone, because it was a long time ago. Clamshell phone. It had an antenna, by the way, I think the phone did.
The first name drop was pretty good, but a Katzenberg call on an old school cell phone driving through L.A., that's a little more iconic.
That's old school Hollywood,
oh,
kid.
Oh, yeah, baby.
I forgot. Katzenberg is a name drop, but at the time he wasn't, because I spent so much time with him and he ruined all my vacations. But anyway, he called me up and he was like, buddy, how'd you like to direct Shrek 4? And I was like, you know what? I'm going to do this because I love this story. This story is so good. Now, that being said, when Mike Myers came aboard, he was like, he really wanted to do a film about Shrek's dad. And who knows, maybe Shrek 5 will be like this. But he wanted to have Sean Connery be Shrek's dad, which is also a great idea. So I was almost creating two films at one time.
Whoa.
Because they were both really good ideas and they didn't go together. And then we ended up going with the better film, which was the one that we made, I think, Shrek Forever After.
Speaking of Shrek 5, so Shrek Forever After was really billed as the final Shrek film. It's like the end
of
Shrek.
It was. They called it the final chapter. Isn't that funny?
Yeah. But that's no longer true.
No. And even when we called it the final chapter, that is a marketing trick that movies do. And even way back then, I think the studio, it wasn't up to me. I don't own the franchise. But I was like, I remember everyone going, we're just going to say this. It doesn't matter. We can still make more, whatever.
I
used it as a thing of like, what if this is the last one? I better stick the landing. I'm going to do everything I can. We're going to try to be as emotional as we can at the end and satisfying.
But it's going to take them almost 20 years, which itself is pretty shocking.
I know. Ridiculous.
It took so long to make the fifth one that now an entire new generation is obsessed with Shrek.
But here's the thing that I like working on these sequels, because, you know, I work on like SpongeBob and Alvin and the Chipmunks. It is interesting to work on these and kind of go, why do these last so long? What is it about these characters? And I feel by the end of it, like I did one of those Lego films as well. And after making it,
you're the most modest man alive, by the way. Like,
thank you.
Yeah. You.
I don't want to assume, you know, my resume. By the way, when I go in for jobs, no one knows what I do. I have to rattle this off. No one looks at IMDb.
Oh, my gosh. I'm shocked. Also, like, we're theme park people. All of this stuff kind of falls into it.
Oh my God.
You're like our parks. Hero.
Yeah. Good. I want to make a I want to do a theme park ride. How fun would that be? That's what I want to work on.
Holy cow. You'd be so good at it.
Can you imagine a Trolls theme ride? I mean, that would be so psychedelic and everyone would be covered in glitter at the end. We'd get a lot of lawsuits. People would have glitter in their eyes and in their mouth and in their clothes.
No, because you sign away all your rights when you step inside. You're fine.
You're right. You're right. Once you step past the sign that measures you for how tall you are to take this ride, you're right.
That's it. You're past the threshold. How does the Trolls ride not exist? Because we have so many character meet and greets based off the films.
Well, hook me up. I bet with your people and your fan base, you can get me in a meeting somehow so I can do that.
I can make it happen for you.
Let's do it.
Not a problem.
So anyway, back to Shrek. What were we talking about? I don't remember.
I wanted to ask you what it's been like to watch Shrek just kind of inch his way back into the zeitgeist, where now Shrek is like as relevant as he's ever been and a movie hasn't come out in 15 years?
It's fascinating and I love it because I have loved Shrek from the beginning, and for a little while there, people were like, Shrek, he's just a farty, stupid sellout. And he's like I said, he's a very special character. He's grumpy, and that's great for kids to see an angry character that's relatable is so great. And then he's just surrounded by great talent, not just Cameron Diaz, but like Eddie Murphy as Donkey, Antonio Banderas as Puss in Boots. Give me a break. And then forget about the whole cast of fairy tale characters. And then, you know, Prince Charming is so funny. He did the first slow motion in CGI hair flip where his hair was in slow motion. They do that in every animated film now. And it started with Prince Charming.
Oh my gosh. See, there's so many things that I just don't know that you know, which is just normal to you.
Here's another thing. I always say that, like, even though you and I are communicating over Zoom and everyone uses Zoom all the time and everyone meets on Zoom, I find it to be, when I'm working, kind of a sneeze guard between creativity. Because I remember, this is another memory I had, being at a table with all the board artists. And these are the funniest people in the world that can also draw pictures. And we're all talking about what we should be doing. And off in the corner was Dave Smith, and someone else started giggling. And this was the beginning of the internet, right? So the internet had just started. And I was like, what's going on over there? Like, I call it popcorn. You see popcorn happening. And I'm like, guys, what are you guys laughing at? And they're like, well, we're looking at pictures of overweight cats. And they started to show the table overweight cats. And then everyone was riffing, oh, how great would it be if Puss in Boots was overweight with a pink bow? And then I was getting nervous going, uh-oh, I got to sell the studio on this, because the studio hated that idea. They did not like Antonio Banderas. But what a funny idea. And I could just tell with everyone laughing and talking, I was like, this is a great idea.
It's wintertime and I'm cold, okay? Yeah, I'm in LA, but I'm cold. I'm shivering. I'm recording this with a blanket over my shoulders. And as someone who spent her entire college years in a tip-to-tail, full-body puffy coat, there is no need to spend your winters looking like a walking sleeping bag, okay? You can still be chic without feeling the chill because of Quince. From Mongolian cashmere sweaters to Italian wool coats, even the phrase Italian wool coats is chic. Everything here is premium quality at a price point you'll actually be excited about. Need some layers to refresh your winter wardrobe? Nab some soft Mongolian cashmere sweaters for $50 that look and feel like designer pieces. Have endless holiday events that are all vaguely professional? They've got everything you need, like silk tops and skirts for dressing up. Each piece is made with premium materials and is elevated, timeless, and made to wear on repeat. But the sweaters? The sweaters are taking me out. I cannot decide which color of the Mongolian cashmere oversized crew neck that I am committing to, because I picked up the brown one and I am tempted by the others. And I can't buy all of them, but honestly, at this price point, I could definitely buy a few. But I am going to pair it with bike shorts, which you know I also got here. I'm also going to pair my sweater with fancy event pants. They will take you through your entire schedule. This garment will go with everything. And that is how I feel about so many of Quince's luxe staples. And we rarely talk about this, but you guys, they're not just clothes. They've got kids' sleep sacks. They've got fine jewelry. They're out here. They're selling diamonds. They've also got luxury skincare. It's a digital department store of one-stop shopping you can't go wrong with. Find gifts so good you'll want to keep them, because sometimes you're buying them for yourself with Quince. Go to quince.com/amusing for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. It's also now available in Canada, too. That's quince.com/amusing to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/amusing. And get that sweater in brown, and then we'll be twins! We're eating good this winter because you and I are smart enough to know we gotta be using EveryPlate. You don't need to spend a ton of money on groceries or your whole night in the kitchen to make food you want to eat at home, because EveryPlate gives you restaurant-level deliciousness without having to pay for valet. You know what I had for lunch today? Tuna. A can of tuna. Not even tuna salad. Because I have no condiments at home, because I dread going grocery shopping. I was out of town, I thought I would be on top of things, and I wasn't. But EveryPlate sets you up for success and saves you from eating a sad can of tuna like you are a cat when you are an adult woman. EveryPlate meals are exceptionally tasty. They're easy to make, easy to follow recipes, and way better than anything I would cook up myself without them. Again, I don't want to go to the grocery store, and they're doing all of it for you, because EveryPlate's constantly rotating weekly recipes will be delivered right to your door, so you'll always have the best answer to what's for dinner. You'll spend less on those flavor-packed homemade meals than you would on your normal groceries or at a restaurant, and you can up your dinner game in 30 minutes or less with EveryPlate's clear, easy-to-follow recipes. And frankly, take it from me, you will cook better than you ever have before. I'm just not willing to buy a $7, $9, $11 condiment for a single recipe that I'll use once and never do again. I'm also not out here perusing the internet to find a recipe in the grand ocean of recipes that exist out there. Let me tell you what, I don't even want to look for this stuff because I don't want to mess with my very perfect algorithm. It keeps giving me really good shopping websites, like really good clothes and stuff that I want. I've put this much effort in liking and saving things. It knows me now. And if I start adding food in, it's going to ruin everything. EveryPlate solves all these problems. It meets me where I am, at home and hungry. And if you haven't tried EveryPlate yet, you've heard me yap about it. You should give it a try. So really, what are you waiting for? Dig into these flavor-packed meals your household will love. New customers can enjoy this special offer of only $1.99 per meal. Go to everyplate.com/podcast and use the code AMUSING199 to get started. Apply to discount on first box, limited time only. That's everyplate.com/podcast with the code AMUSING199. Happy eating!
Hey, what's up, y'all? Kelly Clarkson with Wayfair. My favorite thing about the holidays, decking out my whole house. It's not a competition, but if it was, well, I'd win the season with Wayfair. Outdoor inflatable Santa, got it on Wayfair. Trees, lights, and ornaments, Wayfair. Hosting must-haves like dining sets, beds, sheets, and towels, Wayfair. For everything in your style delivered with fast and free shipping, visit wayfair.com or the Wayfair app to win the season. But again, it's not a competition.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
What is it like for you to be a director of a film like this specifically, where you're kind of the middleman between the corporate side, but also the writing that's being done is really pushing a boundary? How do you live between those worlds?
Well, one, I'm one of the fans. So it's great when you're directing something that you're a fan of. And so that's my meter. I'm like, if I'm offended, the fans are going to be offended. And if I love it, the fans are going to love it. And then it was in this instance, it was really great because at the time, Jeffrey Katzenberg was a really great leader and he was very demanding and he wanted things to be great, but he wouldn't come in and tell you how to do it. So what he would do is he would come in and he's a poker player and he would point out things and he would say, no one's going to understand this. I see that you guys are trying to be funny. It's not like he would say all these wonderful things and then walk away. And that's not how things are done these days. Usually people, the leadership wants to be creative and they want to tell you how it should be done. And they want to tell you what drawings you need to do and what would be funny. I much preferred working with this guy where he would point out how you could be better. And then he'd leave the room and you would huddle up with your crew and we would become even stronger going, okay, let's do this note. How are we going to please daddy and show him and make him regret his words, which we did quite a bit. Like, I'll give you an example. One of them was, he was like, guys, this is my imitation of Jeffrey. He doesn't
sound
like this.
I can't believe you've had this podcast for almost 6 years and we've had no Katzenberg imitation so far.
But my imitation is not accurate, but it's a flavor of who he is. He can go, guys, Puss in Boots in Shrek 2 licked himself. He lifted his leg and he licked himself. Outstanding. The audience went crazy. What's your moment for Puss in Boots? He needs to lick himself. And we're like, okay. And for weeks, we blew him off. We're like, we don't need to do that. We've seen it in part two. He's licked himself. And then he's like, guys, Puss in Boots needs to lick himself. Where is he? So we're like, okay. So then we put in Puss in Boots licking himself. And then we showed it to him. And, you know, this is all rough boards.
Yeah.
And he goes, no, that's not. He's just licking himself. He already did that in part two. How does he part four lick himself? And we're like, oh my God, man. And so brew the coffee. And we had teams of people thinking about how, one, the Puss in Boots big eyes and how is he going to lick himself and blah, blah, blah. And I feel that we came up with the perfect moment where, I don't know if you remember in the film, he asks Donkey to lick, lick him. And then he does the big eyes and we compounded two of our issues together. But that's what's hard about doing these sequels too, is you can't just do the same joke again. Like Pinocchio's nose can't just grow again. You've got to come up with a part four reason that everyone wants it, but not how they expect it. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that's so uniquely tricky. And I also just love picturing you just leaving behind the stress of having young children to go to work and then just fretting about how are we going to make Puss in Boots lick himself.
Yeah, ridiculous that I get paid for that. But then I get to go home and go, kids, guess what dad did? I figured it out. Puss is licking himself. Donkey's going to lick him. I'm so happy.
That must have been such a high when you guys finally figured it out.
Oh, it's all so silly at the end of the day. These animated films are, it's really ridiculous that specifically the group of the Shrek people, the people that originated Shrek, were really a bunch of silly people. Like, they're really dedicated and really funny. And I've noticed in the industry, people they're not as funny as they used to be back in the day. And those guys, the whole group would just crack each other up.
I was going to ask you, how different was the process of making Shrek Forever After compared to making a comparable film now? Like, what has really changed in that process? And I know the release is probably quite different now, but the creative process, what has changed since then?
Well, it's weird because everyone wanted me to be nervous because it was such a franchise. Even back then, they're like, this is the big one. This is the Mickey Mouse of DreamWorks, which is true. It yeah. is. But I never felt that pressure. And I remember even the interviews were like, what was it like to have that in your hands and all that money? I didn't worry at all. It was all for me. Maybe I'm insane or I'm not worrying about the right stuff. I felt very confident.
No, that makes sense because you have really robust characters to play with.
So I was fortunate enough to grab Dave Smith is a board artist and Walt Dorn, who actually voiced Rumpelstiltskin. He ended up voicing Rumpelstiltskin.
Yeah, and I read that now he's directing, co-directing the fifth one?
That's right. He's co-directing the fifth one, Walt Dorn. He also, I think he directed the last Trolls movie as well.
Hey, is it that communal as it seems like from the outside where every like the same kind of group of people are either storyboarding or voicing or just they're kind of all working together?
You want new people, but you also want some connective tissue. So a lot of times, and in fact, he's co-directing with Conrad Vernon, who co-directed the second one and does the voice of Gingy. So
it's all in the family.
Go figure. He also does the voice of one of the monkeys from Madagascar. Does. So yes, it is incestuous. You're right. We leave and we come back, but it's always nice to have fresh faces, fresh artists, young artists, but it's always good to bring in some of the old crew that remembers the good old days.
Oh my gosh. At this point in your career, what is the dream project? Is there anything left?
Well, I'll tell you. Yeah, there's loads of stuff out there. Loads of stuff. And without giving too much away, I love puppets.
Go on.
I love Jim Henson. I'm buddies with loads of puppeteers that work for the Jim Henson Studios. There's a show called Puppet Up that happens every once in a while. And I'm friends with all the people in Puppet Up. They are so talented.
So talented.
Like really clever groundlings actors that were trained by the Jim Henson Company to do puppets. So anyway, I have maybe 3 to 4 puppet projects. And what we're doing is we're combining CGI with puppets. So we go in and we animate their eyes and their eyebrows. And without me getting too much into it, it is phenomenal. And we have a blast. And so any one of those projects going, and then, and it's with.
Is that public knowledge? Do I have to edit this out?
Probably. I think you have to edit it out because I don't think it's known, but I'm so excited by it. You have no idea. Yeah. And then, just sent me to look at one of my first jobs was working on Nightmare Before Christmas and James the Giant Peach.
I'm sorry. Did you just drop some lore that you worked on the Nightmare Before Christmas?
Yes, that's right. Way back in the day.
40 minutes into an interview, I'm learning that you worked on the Nightmare Before
Christmas? Yeah. Dude, I am such an old dude. I worked on Ren and Stimpy. Do you remember Ren and Stimpy? Yeah. With the guy who's with Conrad Vernon, Ren and Stimpy, and Tom McGrath, who's directing, he directed The Boss Baby and the Madagascar movies. Yeah. So
I already knew you were a legend, but now.
Yeah. You're going to make me feel so old. I'm going to lose a tooth now during this interview. I'm going to spit a tooth out on the ground.
If you keel over, just press your life alert and you'll be fine.
I will. Yeah. You'll call 911 for me, right?
Yeah, it'll be fine. I'll just yell really loud and hopefully someone on the other end will hear it.
But anyway,
we are puppet people and very amusing. So much so that I'm going to bleep out the majority of what you just said so we can make sure these projects still get greenlit.
Yeah, please.
Like, wow. Wow. So much to look forward to ahead.
But to sum up your question is, I like when something comes out that looks really new and fresh. And it doesn't matter if it's connected to an IP or not, but like Spider-Verse is a good example. Didn't we all love when that came out? We're like, oh my gosh, Spider-Verse looks so much different. And even the Ninja Turtles movie, which I didn't work on at all, but like, wow, they really found a clever look to that. And I feel that if you're constantly evolving, and it doesn't have to be technology that goes forward. You could just like use old school mixed with new school. So that's what I like in filmmaking. So any way to be creative and have a different look, that's what I'm all about.
That must be so fun to kind of have the same job for so long, but have it change so much.
Oh, I love it. It's like going to summer camp where at the end of a job, it takes 3 years and you hug all the people and you cry and you're going to miss them so much. And then the people you can't stand, you're like, goodbye, goodbye forever.
It's so cool that as new technologies emerge, you're able to do what you do in a totally different way.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's why, yeah, it's weird. This is how old I am too. I remember when it used to all be hand-drawn animation, right? Like Little Mermaid was all done on paper and pencil and these desks. Do you know what the desks look like with the hole in the light bulb?
If you're a Disney fan, they train you very well on what the desks are.
Okay, great. Yeah. The light bulb used to burn your thigh too when you're like when I was in school. But anyway, I'm so old. I remember they shoved all the desks into the hallway and they're like, and they did this at Disney, DreamWorks, and Blue Sky. Get them out of here. We're done. Take them off to the wood chipper and we're only going to do CGI movies. And we all panicked. And yeah, I'm a Luddite. I told you I like pencil and paper. And all the artists were like, I don't know how to do it. I got to retrain myself from scratch. This is very stressful and scary. And a lot of the leadership, like Jeffrey Katzenberg, gave people lessons. They're like, you can go to classes and we'll pay for it if you want to learn CGI animation, right? And lo and behold, it didn't mean the end of 2D animation because we still have that. Like we still see it, like all the Miyazaki films and all that stuff didn't end it. But it did create loads more jobs. So I'm hopeful that every time people get scared of this technology, as I do, I'm like, I think back at that moment. I'm like, I think this is going to just evolve. It's a tool. It's going to create more jobs. It'll shift jobs away from other things. But that's the hope.
I love the optimism. I think it's accurate, too. I think that's all I have. Is there anything that we didn't cover?
Well, I didn't tell you an interesting story on Shrek 4. We had recorded the villain was Leonardo DiCaprio, and we actually animated the villain with his voice, and it was phenomenal. And then we tested the movie with Leonardo DiCaprio as Rumpelstiltskin.
What?
Yeah, this is a true story. And Leo was such a great actor and so intense that he made the whole movie terrifying. Like it was it became a horror film. It was very hard to laugh at even Eddie Murphy as Donkey. It was terrifying. And so we had to shift at the last minute and we didn't have any time. So that's how Walt, who did his scratch, just got the job. And furthermore, Leo wrote 3 of the funniest lines in the film. And when he said them, when he performed his lines, no laugh at all. And then when Walt performed the lines that Leo ad-libbed, they're the biggest laughs in the movie. And
what?
I found that fascinating. Fascinating.
Do you remember which lines they were? That's crazy.
Yeah, one of them was, he was like, how about I take one of your days from you, Shrek? You know, like a day you lost a pet, the day you had the flu, something like that. And Shrek goes, how about the damn that donkey? There's a day I'd like to forget. And then Rumpelstiltskin goes, ha, 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 and laughs. But Leo said, ha, 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 I don't know who that is. And he was just being an actor. He was like, you haven't told me that I'm aware of who Donkey is in this world. He's a brilliant actor. And he was on top of every line, right? Didn't get a laugh. But when Walt says it, it gets a huge laugh. I don't know who that is. He laughs, but then he doesn't know who Donkey is a big line. And then he also came up with a lot of the lines when he's intimidating the witches. And he's like, anyone want some water? Some agua purificada? Like, that was all Leo. Practically wrote that scene. And by the way, when Leo did it, it was terrifying. You were scared for the witches. And then when Walt did it, it got huge laughs.
That's so wild that there could have been some weird, like, Halloween Horror Nights version of Shrek.
Yeah.
With bizarre. Leonardo DiCaprio.
Yeah. Yeah. Bizarre, right? Really bizarre. So yeah, that happens a lot in animated films where you go down a path with an actor and then you recast him. It happens quite a bit. But
wow.
That was one of the instances where it ended up and then all the animators celebrated because they all loved Walt, you know. And when we announced it, they're like, one of us is going
to
be.
Also, to like replace Leonardo DiCaprio is so wild.
It's a big deal. Maybe that's why he's directing the next one. Maybe that's what gave Walt his cred, his street cred. Anyway,
if he can take over Leo, we can do anything.
That's right. Great to meet you.
It was so nice to meet you, too. Thank you so much for coming on the podcast.
Of course. Thank you for taking the time and listening to my old man stories.
Becky, welcome back. Tell me more of what you got for Deals, Deals, Deals.
Well, of course, DCL, Disney Cruise Line, is still offering their 50% off their deposit. That's due at time of booking. So that's a really good one. If you're kind of strapped for cash right now, but you really want to get a good gift for your family, you can get 50% off the deposit. And that's for cruises between March 2026 and even into May 27th. So you got a little bit there. If your perfect vacation includes a pineapple and an umbrella, then you got something at Alani, because they are having their 25% off stays up to 5 nights or longer. And that is for most nights, January 4th, all the way to April 9th.
Ooh.
So another great idea to go and hang out with your family in a wonderful location. Now, remember when I was saying those Black Friday sales?
Yeah.
Here's one really quick. It's coming up right now. You can book by December 8th. And this is actually Celebrity Cruise Lines. You can save up to 75% off the second guest, believe it or not, or 50% off their second guest for the refundable fares, and the non-refundable fares are 75. So guess what, too? Free third, fourth, and fifth guest on their Black Friday sale.
Oh, everybody's coming.
I know. And imagine this. This is just one supplier, and they're now just starting to roll out these Black Friday sales, so keep your eye on them. Last but not least, we have an exclusive offer for Royal Caribbean. Up to $100 onboard credit for staterooms that are booked by 12/8, by December 8th of this year. And that is valid on sailings that are all through 2026.
Oh my gosh.
I know. You can cruise, you can go to Alani, you can sip on a pineapple, you can have a great time in Walt Disney World, all at discounted rates.
Wow, Becky, thank you so much for blessing us with these discounts. And I can't wait to hear what's ahead if this is what we got now.
I know. Again, watch those Black Friday sales, because that's going to be a key.
I love you, MEI Mouse Fan Travel.
Back at you.
Hey, Carly. This is Tyler from up in the frozen parts of Canada. And as I drive to work right now, I was listening to a podcast, and you might be familiar with it. It's the Grinch podcast. Not sure if you've heard it at all, but there is a certain intonation that the Grinch makes, and the actor that portrays the Grinch makes, and there's an energy that is addictive, and maybe it's the fact that I listen to it on a higher speed, as I do with your podcast. But the energy that the Grinch gives is like the same energy that Carly Wiesel gives, except it's like on the opposite side of the spectrum. He's all grumpy grump, but he gives us high energy, and you are joyful, happy, and you give that energy. I don't know if anyone else thinks this, but I was just listening to it, and I thought, this is the vibe of Carly, but it's different and on the other side of the spectrum. Anyway, that was my thought. Random one for you. Have a great day. Happy holidays.
Tyler, I am so excited about this call because I have never heard of this podcast. I did not know the Grinch had a podcast. And the fact that the Grinch might be the yin to my yang in terms of audio recordings, we are going to listen to this together. We are going to do this in tandem. And I'm going to look this up while I am on mic, which I know is not like the best for audio, but we're going to do it anyway. It's fine. Okay. The Grinch podcast. Also, how do you like... I'm so California brained now that even though I lived in Chicago for half my life and I lived in New York for so long, I'm like, you're driving in the snow? Don't you stay home? California has really melted my mind. Okay, Grinch podcast. I feel like I'm finding out I have a long lost sibling or something. Grinch podcast. All right, I'm looking it up. I think this is it. It is Tis the Grinch Holiday Podcast. Okay. Okay, let's see. Oh my God. Oh, Bob Odenkirk was on this. Cool. Okay.
They think it will help improve my interpersonal skills to schmooze it up with the celebs. But guess what? I'm not interested in celebs, and I refuse to talk to them.
Really?
Okay, I hear it. I hear it. I don't know why I have the same cadence as the freaking Grinch, but I hear it. I heard it and was like, oh, yeah, that is how I speak out loud. That's bananas. Wow. I don't want the Grinch to take over Shrek's Ember because they are green. They are powerful characters and we herald them in the holiday season. But wow, the Grinch is my podcast doppelganger and I had no idea. Thank you so much for this call. Also, like, oh my God, am I the Grinch's Wario? I guess the Grinch Grinch is my Wario, to be specific. But Tyler, you just opened my eyes to a whole world I did not know about. Wow. Wow. Okay, talk to you soon. Stay warm. Bye. That's our show. Thank you all so much for listening. And a very, very special thank you to Mike Mitchell, the director of the fourth Shrek film, for coming on Very Amusing. What a blast. And I do plan to milk Mike's contacts so that we have future Shrek members full of directors and artists who work on these beautiful, fantastic, phenomenal films. You can rate, review, and follow Very Amusing on Apple Podcasts, and rate and follow us on Spotify. You can also give us a call at 747-TROS. No call is too small. We love to get them. We have a ton we have to get through. I think we might be at another Churros Hotline mailbag episode. I think we're almost there. So if you have a question, drop it in before the holidays, and I will hopefully get to it ASAP. If you're thinking about planning a trip to a theme park, on a cruise, on an Adventures by Disney trip, look no further than MEI Mouse Fan Travel. You know them. You love them. They will help you plan your trip and handle every detail for free. They will charge you nothing. It's like a personal assistant for your theme park vacation for absolutely free. I use them for my trips. I recommend you use them for your trips. They are powering. They are making Amusapalooza happen, which, by the way, updates are coming, people. It is so soon. And we are like finally in the window where real things are happening. I'm so excited. And it wouldn't be possible without them. They're that good at planning stuff. And I recommend you use them. Head to mousefantravel.com/amusing. They will take care of everything. And I love them. Tell them I sent you. I adore them so much. And I've seen Becky so often lately, and it's been absolutely wonderful. Follow me at Carly Wiesel on the internet. I'm posting a bunch of videos. I'm trying to be better about posting. Usually I take videos and I put my phone in my pocket and I just space out, but I'm trying to be better. I'm trying to actually post them because I enjoy the filming part, the uploading, not so much. Join the Fomaly at facebook.com/group/CarlyWiesel and subscribe to my Instagram, 99 cents a month. As they say on Arrested Development, there are dozens of us. There are more than dozens of us. I posted that meme as a joke, and I'm pretty sure a good number of people thought I meant there were like literally 24 of us. No, there's a lot of us, and we love hanging out together. We would love to have you there as well. Again, cheaper than cold foam, and almost the cost of half of protein cold foam, which I haven't had yet. I think it would make my body explode from the inside. But, you know, one day I'll try it. Oh, that's it. Thanks so much for listening. Happy Shreksember. See you real soon.
Hey, honey, it's Mom. I just got back late last night from seeing you and spending the holidays with you. Thank you for everything, and thank you to you and Steve for making my birthday and Thanksgiving so special. You're the best. Great episode, honey. Now, Stars Hollow at Warner Brothers Studio Tour in Hollywood must be so amazing, but I don't know if you know this, but I'm an original Gilmore Girls fan, the original OG fan, a fan from the beginning. I started watching it, and I think it was the year 2000 when it started, and you were around Pearl's age. So I heard you saying that you are encouraging people that you know in Florida to come for this. I think you mean me, because I'm in Florida. You mean me? I will definitely come in for this if you mean me. Well, you know how much, I don't know if you even know this, but I would come in to see Scott Peterson, Luke, because Luke was my favorite. He's so handsome. I would love to meet him. And by the way, I like Lorelai, but I like her with Jesse. I always liked her with Jesse. Sorry, not sorry. But I would love to do this with you. Great episode. What a sweet message from your caller. I just love that. And I love you, and I love Pearl, and I hope to see you soon. Bye, sweetie.